And Emily and Hannah are going to come and read for us our Bible reading for today from Acts chapter 8.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian, a eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of the scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?"
The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Well, I've often thought that one of the least likely things that I could ever see myself doing is bungee jumping. There used to be a place where you could go bungee jumping in Macau, which was really quite close to where we used to live in Hong Kong. And every time I saw the adverts for it, I would think, there is no way that you would ever get me to do that. You can see a picture of it there on the screen. It's one of the highest bungee jumps in the world, actually, 200 and something meters. The prospect of flying through the air to be jerked back up once the elastic takes hold and then sort of bouncing up and down on the end of a cord is really not a thing that appeals to me at all. I've often thought, what would I need to be persuaded of if I was to actually go bungee jumping? And I think there are actually two things. One, I would need to be persuaded it was actually safe, it was actually okay to be doing this. And number two, I would need to be persuaded that I would actually enjoy it. Something that seems a very remote prospect indeed when we see pictures like that. Well, I wonder if my attitude towards bungee jumping can sometimes be a lot like the attitudes that we can have towards Christianity. Maybe you have been here this morning and you've watched as Matthew and Sam have got baptized, and you thought, there is absolutely no way you would ever get me doing anything like that. When you think about Christianity, it's very much the view of an outsider looking in rather than as one who is an enthusiastic participant. And then for some of the rest of us, of course, we have a slightly different problem, which is that we are actually enthusiastic participants, but yet we are called often to interact with many people who view Jesus with suspicion and aren't really interested in him at all. And that can be a real challenge for those of us who are Christians. We know that Jesus wants to include everyone. We know that Jesus longs for people to come to know him. But yet we aren't always sure how to actually go about it. And it can lead to an element of discouragement for us. Well, if you've ever felt any of those things, then I think there is some hope and encouragement from our Bible passage this morning. So the passage that was read for us a little bit earlier on is from the New Testament book of Acts. And the book of Acts is basically all about the growth of Christianity from Jerusalem to Rome in the ancient world. It's basically a story of how that happened. And the particular story that we are looking at this morning is that of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. And it's really an amazing story because here we have someone who was a real outsider. He would have felt that a relationship with God was beyond him for all sorts of reasons, as we'll see in a few moments. But yet, he was someone who God would bring into a real relationship with himself, a relationship where he felt valued and included, and a relationship of real joy. Is it possible that God wants to work in me in spite of my questions and reservations? Is it possible that God wants to use me in the lives of people around me who aren't yet Christians, even if they really look like outsiders to Jesus at the moment? Well then, let's dig into our passage this morning. And what I would like to do for the remainder of our time is just walk through the four stages of this story, which we see here, and what we can learn. Number one, I've called a unique individual. And this really brings us to look at the Ethiopian eunuch in verse 27 and 28. And what immediately strikes me about this eunuch is that here is somebody who is really unique. So we are told, for instance, that he's important. Verse 27 says that he was an important official in charge of all the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. And so here is somebody with a really important government job, maybe equivalent to the Chancellor of the Exchequer, perhaps here in the UK. And then we see that he was also a eunuch. So high officials were often castrated in the ancient world. The idea really there was that they could therefore be trusted around a queen, or maybe around the king's wives, for instance. But the point here is that this would have also made this eunuch an outsider to God's Old Testament people as well. So according to the Old Testament, anyone who was castrated was not allowed inside the temple in Jerusalem. Castrated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. Obviously, it's not helpful to read modern views of gender back into the Bible, but I think it is still legitimate to say that this eunuch would have been very aware of the fact that he was a man who was not quite the same as the other men around him, and that must have been something that he was probably painfully aware of. Then we're also told here that he was from Ethiopia. That's probably not the land area which we think as Ethiopia these days, but rather was the ancient kingdom of Nubia, sort of in the southern part of Egypt now. This means that this eunuch was African. He would have been racially black. And so here we have this eunuch. He's not really quite what we would expect. He is someone who would have been excluded from the worship of the temple, and he would have been regarded as an outsider by many in Israel. But yet what we also see here is that he was somebody who was genuinely seeking God. We read at the end of verse 27 that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He had obviously somehow heard about God, and so he was now seeking him. And so he made the long and arduous journey from the kingdom of Nubia all the way north to Jerusalem to try and find out more. Purchased an Isaiah scroll. This would have been a sort of copy of the Old Testament book of Isaiah in a scroll. It's actually quite long. And this would have been a really expensive and a really valuable document. And so he was somebody who was really serious about finding out more about God. Interestingly, we're not told how the eunuch felt. But it's not hard to imagine that he went up to Jerusalem to seek God. How did he feel when he got there? Well, maybe he looked at the temple, but then found himself excluded from it. Maybe he bought this scroll actually as an act of sheer desperation because he longed to hear from God. But yet now he finds himself on his way home in his chariot, struggling to understand what God is trying to say to him. So I wonder if this eunuch resonates with any of us gathered here this morning. Are we those who feel like outsiders, maybe because of our race, maybe because of our age, maybe because of our class, maybe because of our educational background? Are we those who are conscious, maybe in some clear way, that we actually feel very different to everybody else? Well, I think if we feel any of those things this morning, then this eunuch would have known exactly how we feel, and he would have been able to identify with us. But you know, the great encouragement of this story is it reminds us that God loves diversity among his people, and he calls all different kinds of people to come to know him and be in relationship with him. Sometimes we might think that if we become a Christian, well, isn't that going to really stifle my individuality? Am I going to end up like a clone? But this story reminds us that God loves all different kinds of people, and he calls everybody to come and know him, even somebody like you. I remember meeting up with someone last year, and one of her big problems was basically the fact that Christianity was a white male institution which had been used by Western powers as a tool of oppression throughout the world. But yet a key moment for her was when she actually discovered that most Christians in the world are not white and male, but are actually black and female. That, for her, was a huge revelation. She realized that actually the way that she'd been thinking about Christianity up until that point was completely wrong. In her mind, she thought of Christians as being white and male, but actually that wasn't true. Instead, she discovered that all different kinds of people are actually Christians, and that actually those parts of the world where currently the church is growing the most are actually those parts of the world which are non-Western. I think some of the roots of this go all the way back here to this story of the Ethiopian eunuch. We see in passages like this that God cares for all races and all kinds of people and wants to reach out to them. And so we see a unique individual, but then we also see here a divine meeting. So now we're introduced to the next person in the story, who is Philip, the evangelist. So this is not the same Philip as the one who we read about in the Gospels, the one who was a disciple, but rather is somebody else who is called Philip in the book of Acts. And in the passage just before this, Philip has been right up in the north of Israel in an area called Samaria. He's preaching there to huge crowds. Things are going really well. He's proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, and many, many people are becoming Christians. It's going really well. And that's why it's really weird, and in many ways quite surprising, when we read in verse 26 that an angel of the Lord appears to Philip and says to him, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." That's really strange, because the point is that the road from Jerusalem to Gaza is in the middle of nowhere. It is in the wilderness. Philip is to leave this really great ministry, which he's doing at the moment, and basically head off into the middle of the desert. It would be a little bit like teaching at a school in the middle of London. Everything's going really well. Lots of children's lives are really being changed. And then you move to somewhere like the Outer Hebrides. It's just a highly unusual move. But yet Philip obeys. And so we read that he heads down to the desert road, and on the way he just happens to bump into this eunuch, who just happens to be reading the Isaiah scroll, which is just bought in Jerusalem, so he can learn more about God. What's going on? Well, the answer is that God is at work. God providentially works to bring these two people together in exactly the right place at exactly the right time so that his purposes can be fulfilled. This eunuch can come to know God, and the gospel can spread to places like Ethiopia. I remember reading in a story in the news a number of years now, almost in the sort of pre-mobile phone time, about a guy in Australia. And apparently this guy in Australia had decided that the time had finally come to propose to his girlfriend who lived in England. And so he thought that he would surprise her, and so he bought the ring, and he then flew halfway around the world to ask her to marry him. However, what he didn't know was that his girlfriend in England also thought that this would be a really great time. She got on a plane, and she flew to Australia, arriving in Australia at exactly the same time as her boyfriend was arriving in Yorkshire. The worst part of the whole story is that they were actually in Changi Airport in Singapore at exactly the same time on a layover. but yet neither of them knew that the other person was actually there, and so they missed one another, and the result was that they needed to spend 2 weeks apart. Although I guess they would have got to know their in-laws a lot better. Well, you know, those kinds of stories can happen from a human perspective. But, you know, they can never, ever happen when we are talking about God. Because when we come to God, we know that there are no accidents. There are no delays. There are no hold-ups. There is never anyone who is running late. God is working his purposes out. And we can be sure that God will always have everyone exactly where he needs them at exactly the right time for doing his will. And so I think there's an encouragement here. Here we see that God lovingly guides and leads his people to exactly where they are needed. For some of us this morning, maybe there can be those times in life where we really struggle to understand God's ways and how God is working in our life. Maybe like Philip here, in your experience, even at the moment, it perhaps feels like God is moving you from somewhere where you were really flourishing and somewhere where things are going really well, and he seems to be taking you to the middle of nowhere, and that seems kind of illogical to you. But this reminds us that God has got plans and purposes for us. We need to trust in him. Who is to say that he hasn't got some work for us in a new place, just like he had for Philip here? And I know that for lots of us here, including myself, we'll often be scared of talking to people about Jesus. So we get worried that we might say the wrong thing. We get worried that we won't know the answer to people's questions. We get worried maybe that people might respond badly to us. How encouraging it is to know that each person we come into contact with is not actually by accident. Rather, each of them, each of your work colleagues, has been placed there by God. Even the most unlikely person who we might never really expect to become a Christian might have been placed there by God. How do you know that God hasn't placed you exactly where he has at the moment? How do you know that he hasn't brought some of the people he has into your life at the moment exactly so that you can have the opportunity to witness to them about him? And so we see a divine meeting. But then we also see that something else is needed as well for this eunuch to become a Christian, which is a gospel explanation. Jesus to the eunuch. This is actually one of those passages where there's just tons of really great lessons for Christians to learn about sharing their faith with others. So then verse 29, we see that Philip obeys the Spirit's leading and prompting. In verse 30, for instance, we see that Philip is tactful and respectful, and he asks the eunuch a question to help him sort of open up and draw out him so that he can much better understand how to help him. So there are lots of great lessons here for us, but really the main point that I'd like us to focus on just for a couple of minutes is that Philip explains the life-changing message about Jesus to him. I think there's a couple of aspects to this, and the first is that this is a message from the Bible. So if we go back to the passage, we can see there in verse 30 that Philip hears the eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. So obviously Philip's there, maybe the eunuch's going past, and he hears the eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. It was, of course, the custom to read books aloud in the ancient world. And then Philip runs alongside the chariot, which was probably more something of a sort of slow-moving ox cart. It wasn't one of these sort of war chariots which go really fast that you see in the movies. It was probably more of a slow-moving ox cart. And he calls up to him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" "How can I?" the eunuch responds, "unless someone explains it to me." And so he invites Philip to come on up and to sit with him and explain it to him. And so we have this wonderful picture of Philip seated with the eunuch, the two of them poring over the Isaiah scroll as Philip explains the gospel to him. I think it's a great reminder for us how God uses the Bible to draw people to himself. The Bible is God's word to us. The Bible is powerful and contains the truth that we need to know about Jesus. If you're exploring Christianity this morning, one of the best things that you can actually do is to read the Bible. And even better than just to read the Bible is to do exactly what we see the eunuch doing here, which is to ask questions and have someone explain it to you. I think it's a fact probably that very few people become Christians just by reading the Bible on their own, although that obviously can happen. Most people become Christians by having someone explain it to them and helping them to know what it means. God has given us two good gifts. One is the Bible. The other is giving us people to help us understand the Bible and explain it to us. And so what a great encouragement for those of you who read the Bible one-to-one. And I know that loads and loads of us here have really benefited from that. So we see that this is a message from the Bible. We also see that it's a message about Jesus. So we've already seen that the passage that the eunuch was reading was Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament that speaks about the coming of the Messiah and especially about his suffering and death. And this eunuch is obviously really confused about this. And so he asks there in verse 34, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then the climax in verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And so Philip speaks to this eunuch about Jesus. Presumably this contained an explanation of who Jesus was. The prophet wasn't talking about himself, but was talking about Jesus, who had lived just recently and had been crucified and rose again in Jerusalem. How this Jesus came to earth, how he was born, how he lived and grew up, and how eventually he was nailed to a Roman cross and killed, but yet rose again. It's amazing in our modern world how many people are still fascinated by the person of Jesus. People who aren't Christians still make podcasts and documentaries and movies and TV programs about Jesus and who he is. Then Philip must have also shared with the eunuch why Jesus died. Of course, we don't know exactly what Philip said, but surely he would have started with the verses right before the ones mentioned here. So this is Isaiah 53 and verse 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then in verse 6, it says we are all like sheep who have gone astray. That is why we need Jesus this morning. Each one of us has naturally rejected him. We've gone our own way and rebelled against him. But yet these verses also tell us of God's solution to that problem. The solution to that problem is that God sent Jesus to earth for us to die as a substitute for us on the cross. As these verses make so clear, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Each of those phrases in turn makes clear that Jesus died on the cross for us, for you and me. He was the sacrificial lamb who gave himself for lost sheep so that they may be found. Lost sheep can be found. Those separated from God, like the eunuch here, can be brought close because Jesus gave his life on the cross for them. I really love the picture there on the screen. This is the well-known picture of President Kennedy with his son, John Kennedy Jr., playing under the table in the Oval Office. And the reason I really love this is that I think this picture speaks to us so much about things like access and intimacy and drawing near. You know, usually nobody could get anywhere near the president. You would need to go through layers of security and layers of bureaucracy, but yet the president's children, well, they can get access into his presence whenever they want. Here's another picture there that just expresses something of the access and intimacy that we can have. And what a great picture this is of the gospel, full confidence and enjoy acceptance and intimacy with him. That was true for this eunuch who had been to Jerusalem but yet was excluded and couldn't go near the temple. And it's also true for us, as those who are closed out from God's presence naturally and are naturally far away from him. We may feel excluded and like outsiders to God, but yet God's great invitation this morning is that we can draw near to God through Christ as soon as we repent of our sins and place our trust in him. It's great news for this eunuch, and it's great news for each of us this morning. As it says in Ephesians 2, and verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Then what are the results of this? Well, this leads us on, lastly, to look at an outward response. So we see here two aspects to the eunuch's response. First of all, we see baptism. So the eunuch had obviously repented and believed in Jesus. Philip had obviously told him about the importance of being baptized. And so the next thing we read in verse 36 is that as this sort of ox cart rattles along the road, that they eventually come to some water, maybe a pond or a stream perhaps. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Why did the eunuch get baptized? Well, we know from elsewhere in the Bible that baptism is something that Jesus commands for his followers. It's not something that makes us into a Christian, but it is part of our obedience to Jesus after we become a Christian. We also know from earlier on in the book of Acts that baptism was something that went hand in hand with saving faith. And so in Acts 2 verse 38, Peter says to the crowds on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized." In the case of needed to be done immediately, in this case, it would have also provided powerful reassurance for the eunuch that he really was accepted and he really was one of God's people. He was a dry eunuch no more. He was now a wet eunuch, but accepted and part of the global people of God. It shows us that baptism is important. If you're a Christian this morning, baptism is not something that you can just sort of put away for later on. Rather, if we have become Christians, then Jesus says that we should be baptized as an outward sign and as an inward assurance of what has happened to us. We also see the eunuch's joy. So verse 39, "When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." We're not told whether Philip was sort of whisked away supernaturally by the Holy Spirit or whether he just needed to leave in a real hurry, prompted by God. But we are told that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. It doesn't matter that the person who led him to Jesus, the person who used to do one-to-one with him, was no longer with him. He now has Jesus, and that is all he needs. We might have expected him to be nervous, maybe, about going back to Ethiopia as the only Christian in the whole country. Yet instead, he's filled with joy and confidence in God, and it was cause for great celebration, just like the baptisms that we've witnessed this morning. We aren't told what happened to this eunuch later on, but certainly the second century historian, a guy called Irenaeus, records that he returned to Ethiopia and became a missionary there. If this is true, he may not have been able to have any physical children, but yet this eunuch became the father of many thousands of spiritual offspring, all because of this encounter with Philip on the road to Gaza. For some of us this morning, I think the question is, well, do we need to make an outward response to Christ? It's great to make an inward response to Christ. We all need to make an inward response to Jesus as we put our trust in him, in our hearts. But this reminds us that our response to Jesus also needs to be public and needs to be outward as well. And baptism is actually an important and God-given expression of that. If you're someone who's never been baptized, then what is stopping you from doing that this morning? What is preventing you from being baptized? In the words of the Ethiopian eunuch, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And I'm not proposing to do that right now. But please do speak to either myself or Graham if you're interested in learning more, perhaps, about what it would mean for you to be baptized here at Eden. And so we've just got a wonderful story here of this eunuch, about how God works, to reach people who may feel and who we may think are really unlikely. We see that God works in a unique individual. We see that God works in a divine meeting. We see that God works in a gospel explanation. And we see that all of these lead to an outward response. So what about you and me this morning? How are we to respond to this? Well, really briefly, if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, is there maybe one person who you think is unlikely, who God may be calling you to reach. As you think about your family, perhaps, or your circle of friends, or your colleagues, is there maybe one person who God may be really laying on your heart this morning to really pray for, maybe then really be on the lookout for opportunities to actually speak of your Christian faith with them. You know, it may be that God is already preparing them and is working in them right now. And then maybe for those of us here this morning who aren't Christians yet, maybe you thought that you'd never ever find yourself in a Christian meeting. Maybe like me and bungee jumping, you think, you know, there's no way I'm ever doing that. But yet you find yourself here this morning and you also sense that God is speaking to you. Maybe God has brought many, many people like the evangelist Philip here into your life over the years. And he's now calling you this morning to stop going your own way like a lost sheep and rather to come to trust in him instead and draw close to him through the death of Jesus for you on the cross. How will you respond to him? Is it possible that the one unlikely person that God is trying to reach this morning is actually you? Let's pray together. Lord, we give thanks for your word to us this morning and this amazing account of this eunuch coming to faith. Lord, we praise you for how you work in each of our lives and how you orchestrate all things so that more people can come to know you. Lord, we do pray for some of us to be more like Philip here, who was willing to be obedient and was willing to be used as your instrument in someone else's life. And Lord, we also want to pray for those of us this morning who are maybe a little bit more like the eunuch. Lord, we ask that we would come to repent and believe in Jesus for ourselves. We pray that ultimately, like this eunuch, that we would experience the joy that comes from knowing you. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.